Blog Talk Radio.
New Beginnings is not just for the young. Once again, we'd like to thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you that tuned in, we are an interactive Bible study. An interactive Bible study, that means you have an opportunity to call in and to participate, to be a part of this dialogue, this Bible study, this sharing around the table of the Word of God, however you feel about it, we're just coming together to encourage each other. Amen. So if you have an opportunity and you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, oftentimes you can hit the number one. But often what I do is I usually just open up the mics and let someone is listening in. And keep in mind, when you do listen in, make sure that you mute your phones, because these mics are very sensitive and they pick up everything in the background. All the audience and myself, we can all hear everything in the background. Amen. So just mute it, and when it's time for you to talk, you can unmute it. But I'm going to keep all of the mics open so that when we open up for an interactive discussion, you can just go ahead and talk rather than having to push the number one. Amen. As we get started, we'd like to say happy belated birthday to Minister Haman, who has just had a birthday. Amen. So she's getting younger every year, and we thank God for her. We also like to shout out to Stuart Hawthorne, who is in the hospital, or the nursing home right now, and God is just doing amazing things with him and through him. Amen. So keep him up in prayer. We also want to continue to pray for the man of God, Pastor Robinson, from out of Tennessee. Amen. Continue to pray for the man of God, that God will increase his finances. Amen. As he announced the last time he was on, he lost his job. Amen. So the greatest thing that we have in each and every one of us is the opportunity to pray. Amen. And I just truly believe that when we pray corporately, where there's two or three, God is in the midst. When we pray corporately, there is power. There is power. So we claim, we declare, we decree all those things. Amen. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to get into our topic for this evening. Amen. So as we pray, and then we're going to move on in, and I'm going to open up the lines for discussion as we go through the Word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are calling us to a new beginning, to a fresh call of discipleship. You're asking me to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. It was at my baptism that you claimed me as your child. Today I affirm that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I surrender my will, my desire, and my life to you, O God. I commit myself to your call of discipleship, to pray frequently, study your word diligently, worship you regularly, invite other people to a life of discipleship, encourage Christians in their life of faith, serve those in need, and give joyfully of the gifts that you first gave me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. So as we move on, for our topic this evening is, we were created to live in harmony. We were created to live in harmony. And I'm going to give all of you opportunity to open your Bibles. And we are coming from Galatians 26 through 26 through 4, 7. Amen. That's Galatians 26 through 4, 7. Amen. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to open your Bibles so that, you know, as we read along, you know, if you choose to at this time, we will give you that opportunity. Let me say that again. We're coming from Galatians 3, and we're reading from 26 on up into the 4th chapter, 7th verse. So that's 3:26 through 4:7. Amen. And that's in Galatians. And as we move on, some scholars write about that the letter in the Galatians may have been written as early as 48 CE. Now, I want to stop and talk about CE because I like to make sure that everything is clear. And I want to let you know that the scholars today, the scholar today, one time in the old, you remember that it was B.C. and A.D., before Christ, and, you know, A.D., and then we're moving on. And what they're talking about now is the acronym is C.E. and B.C.E. And C.E. is, the term for that is Common Era. And B.C. is before the Common Era. So I wanted to clear that up as we go along. So as it was written as early as 48 C.E., before the meeting of the Apostolic Council in Jerusalem, the timing was when Paul was writing his first letter in the New Testament book. Amen. He was writing in the New Testament book. And this was, he was writing between the Galatians and Romans. And what it was, it indicated a date where his compositions or his letters were to view other scholars. Now, the Galatians during this time, it begins, as we talk about it, it begins where Paul is writing his letter, and the letter is written to the audience, and it's named in his name, and it's a greeting that Paul is giving to the Galatians. And they should follow a contemporary custom during that time when he was writing the letter. All right? So when it was during that time that the Galatians were Christians in Galatia, and they were followers. There was the Galatians, and they were Christians, and they became followers. And the way was their way was kind of altered in that time. And we'll talk about it as we go through that. You know, they were followers, but they did not show the fruit of their new faith. So in Galatians 1:1-5, it talks about the praises of God, and Paul's first readers would have been familiar with all of the expressions in such as the praise and the psalms, but this connection was our heritage, and it was traditional according to his writing. And the letters were opened up to Galatians to a deeper understanding of God's action in Jesus Christ. His actions in Jesus Christ. So the first sections of Galatians 1:6 and 4-31, it's doctrinal, okay? So in the last part of it, when you read through Galatians, it takes a much more of a practical approach, amen? So they focus on how Paul is talking about Judaizers, and a group who felt that they had received the Holy Spirit because they had followed the law of Moses. Now, let me stop there when we talk about the Judaizers. The Judaizers, during that time, they were, it was a Christian group who insisted that their religiosity should follow the law of Moses. So they were considered the Judaizers. Amen? They were Christians who insisted that their religion should follow the law of Moses. So that's where that term, the Judaizers, came. And again, as I said, you know, they felt that they had received the Holy Spirit because they had followed the law of Moses. They insisted that the Galatians should obey the law in order to follow Christ. That was their feelings during that time. So Paul, when he was writing his letters, he insisted, Paul had insisted that, and he informed them that the blessings and promises of Abraham belong to all who believe in Jesus. So the law was given, and it was given, but it was not God's highest
revelation because it came into being after Abraham's time. The law during this time, it had a different purpose in God's plan compared to what God's plan was and the law of Moses. God had a new thing that he was doing at that time. The law had a different purpose in God's plan, and it was to show sin. It was to show sin as a transgression of God's will. So if you look at the law, was considered a teacher, and it was given until Christ came and the people could be justified by faith and not by observing the law. So as we read the scripture for that, as we go into it, and we're going to break it down, and then we're going to have discussion on it. In Galatians, it says, for in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. Verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to his promise. Now, I want to stop there, and I don't like to take anything for granted. So when we look at the word heir, heir is a person who is legally entitled to some kind of type of property. Amen? They're legally entitled to some type of property. They're legally entitled to some type of property. But, well, we'll get deeper into that. We'll go into that. And so when we look at it, when it talks about the promise, the Abrahamic promise, okay, that was an Abrahamic covenant during that time. And there were three things that were taking place. Number one, his prosperity would be numerous. That was number one. Number two, the promise. His seed or his descendants would receive the gospel and bear the priesthood. The third was through the ministry of his seed, the families of the earth would be blessed, even with the blessings of the gospel, which are the blessings of salvation. Amen? So when we look at the promises, those are the promises that we will be talking about as we move further into that. Now, and I'm going to go on and read, and I'm going to start at 4:1, and then we're going to start talking about each section of what it's saying here. All right, my point is, I'm at 4:1. My point is that heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of the property, but they may remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirit of the world. The elemental spirit of the world, and let me go ahead and explain what the elemental spirits of, you know, is when we talk about this. The elemental spirits are, that is during the time when it's talking about the element spirit, and it's really talking about the angels, which was given to Israel. The angels, which is given to Israel, but see, it was not directed by God. It was not directed by God. And it was directed through the angelic powers, So during it, when it talks about the elemental spirits, it's talking about the angels. That's what the Jewish believes during this time. It was the angels, okay, and that was given according to the law. The angels were given because of the Mosaic law, okay? So these are the elemental spirits. it wasn't by God. The angelic spirits, the elemental spirits, were they were angels, but it was for the purpose of the law of Moses. Amen? So I wanted to, you know, just basically explain that before we went on. Now, I'm going to go back and it says, my point is that, and 4:1, my point is that the heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than the slaves, though they are the owners of all the property, but they remain under the guardians and the trustees until the date set by the father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Amen? So as we look through this, and we're going to look at 3:26 through 28, and it's talking about, Paul here is talking about of the law of Moses. He's talking about, in his letter, he's talking about the law of Moses in almost like kind of a negative term. Okay? He doesn't point out that the law served a temporary, it served a temporary function in the life of God's people. So in Galatians 3:24, it shows that the law as a disciplinarian, or it's almost like a confining the people to an outside control. And when we get into the beginning of verse 26, Paul explains that the relationship with God has taken a new relationship with Christ. When you're talking about the Christ, Moses, the law of Moses, and the law of God, it has a new relationship at that time. Amen? So the Galatians would have heard those words before and remembered the teaching that God had incorporated into the body of Christ through the baptism. In verse 27, have clothed yourself refers to an action or a part of the believers. Amen? Have clothed yourself or in action to a part of the believers. So when we look at this, are there any comments as we move further? Any comments? In Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Amen? In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. And in 28 it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. Amen. We are not separated, we are all one in Christ. And if you are, if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, which makes you an heir, according to the promise that we read. Amen? So it says, if you are, if you are in Christ, if you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, then it's saying here that you are Abraham's offspring. We talked about in terms of what the promises, the Abrahamic covenant was to Abraham. And if you and I are offspring, then we are heirs according to the promise that I read. Any comments? In 3:29, it says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring according to the promise. So remember we talked about the Judaizers. They had pressured the Galatian Christians to become children of Abraham by obeying the law and the requirement was considered circumcision. Paul had focused on God, the Father, throughout his letter, and he says that it's faith in Christ that makes us Abraham's children. It's not the circumcision, it's the faith in Christ that you are Abraham's children, not following the ladder given. Amen? And if you recall, we found that Abraham's righteousness was because of his faith. Abraham's righteousness came because of his faith. So we, the Judaizers believed, you know, although they believed in the Abrahamic covenant, they did not believe that the one thing that was missing was they believed in the law. And when Jesus Christ came in a human form, he tore that curtain so that we were no longer under the law. We were no longer under the law. Amen? Any comments? Any comments? I got a quiet audience this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. As we move further, and we talk about here, we talk about, it goes on and it says that in 4:1, and here from 4:1 and 4:2, it states that sons and heirs mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, he is no different from a slave. So he is the owner of everything. Verse 2, but he is under the guidance and managers until the day set by his father. Now what it's saying there is, as an heir, and you know how as an heir you have legal rights. You have legal right. In other words, once you become of age, then everything belongs to you. Everything is turned over to you. But until you become of the age, you have everything is set by a grantor. Amen? The grantor will grant the inheritance over to you after you are of legal age. Amen? After you are of legal age. And that's what it's saying here. That it's saying that while you were minors, they were heirs, but you did not have legal right to it. There was a grantor, someone that managed everything for you until you became of legal age. Amen? Until you became of legal age. And so, like, the metaphor here is to help the Galatians understand their true identity. And the function of the law of Moses was in the faith community. And keep in mind, it was faith. It was the faith. It was faith that God looked at when he saw Abraham. It was because of his faith that he received those promises. And because we are heirs, Abraham's seed is our faith. That's going to make us heirs as children of God. Amen? Any comments? Any comments? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't let me start shouting over here by myself. Hallelujah. Knowing that I am a child of God, that I am an heir, that I am Abraham's seed. And those promises that was given to Abraham has been transferred over to you and I as heirs of Christ because of our faith in Christ. So understand that. That was the difference between the Mosaic law. They believed in the law, but Christ came and tore that veil so that the faith was now in Christ, in Jesus Christ. Believing that Jesus Christ died, he came in human form, He died and he resurrected for you and for me. And that's that faith of knowing who Christ is, knowing, having faith in Christ. So whatever you are going through, whatever you have been through, you have to understand that you are a child of God. And what makes you a child of God is your faith in Christ. Amen? Your faith in Christ.
Amen.
I'm looking for some comments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I will continue on. All right? As we move on from 1 and 2, now we're in Galatians 4, 3. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Elemental spirits, and we talked about that before, and I gave the definition of elemental spirits, and during that time, the elemental spirits was during the Mosaic law, the Mosaic covenant, the elemental spirits, they believed that it was the angels, the angelic. The Jewish believed that the law was given to Israel and it was not directly by God. Amen? It was through the angelic powers. But what we must understand that Christ alone, he doesn't need the law. Christ alone has supreme authority. Christ alone, Christ does not need the law. He is the creator. He is the creator. And what it's saying here is that because you and I are heirs, that we are supposed to live from the very beginning of time, we are supposed to live in harmony with everything, in harmony. And I believe Amen. That when we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ, and I mean totally surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ and have faith in Christ, that it takes us to another level, to another realm. So what we're going through, because we are heirs of Christ, it always works out. God is always going to work it out on our behalf, because of who we are, heirs of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Paul is in here. He talks about the ideas and the attitudes that have influenced our human understanding and how the universe works. In his time, the understanding of the law was replaced by a further revelation of God and what God was doing to reveal Jesus Christ. So that revelation that was going on there, that revelation that was replaced by the Mosaic law, meaning that it was revealed through Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection on the cross. His death and his resurrection. That ended the rule of the law. Amen? And what it did was it just embraced you and I as believers, and it took us into a new relationship called grace. Amen? Grace with God the Father. It took us to another level. That Mosaic law was there, but when Jesus Christ came, and through his death and his resurrection, it ended the rule of the law. It ended that. It ended that, and it's almost like Jesus said, come on, let me take you. Let me take you to another level. Let me take you to another level. Let me take you and show you about God, our Father. Amen? You are no longer a slave. The law has ended. It has ended with the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection.
Amen.
We are no longer under, listen, we are no longer under the law. Jesus came and he ushered us into another level. He's taken us to another level.
Yes,
come on with me. He's taking us to another level. He's taking you, he's taking me to another level.
Yes.
And that level.
Mm-hmm. Come on with it, please.
And that level is freedom. That's why Jesus
Amen.
Came. Since the law was had, even though we needed the law back then, because it was our schoolmaster, it was our school, you know, our teacher, so to speak. But when Jesus came, our schoolmasters, but when Jesus came, he set us free from that law.
Amen.
When you say another level, he set us free from the bondage that law had given us.
Amen.
Because
no longer
slaves. We couldn't move in that law, in that Abrahamic law. But
Hallelujah.
When Jesus came, he didn't separate us. Just like you're saying in verse 28, there is no Jew nor Greek. He didn't separate us. When he came, there was no separation. That's where the harmony came. You know,
Hallelujah.
there is no bond, no free. He's made us all free. There is no male, no female. He's across the board. He's set us free, whether we were in bondage, whether we were, you know, in that place. This is some chapter. This is some chapter. This is a deep chapter. But I don't know. I just lost my thought. But you know what? We are the heirs of Christ, and he's
Amen.
Come to
Amen.
Set us free. And because
Amen.
He's come
Amen.
To set us free, we're now no longer, just like Elder John said, we're no longer under the law, but we're under the grace of Christ,
Hallelujah.
And we are now free from the
Amen.
Law that has kept us. In bondage.
We're no longer slaves, but
yes.
now we
yes.
are children of God. We are
yes.
and daughters of God. We have been adopted
Amen.
Into the Holy Family.
Yes.
We have access.
That's good.
Hallelujah. And I'm
we
here to
access.
Tell you, those of you who are listening, take off those shackles.
Mm.
Take off those shackles.
Mm.
You're no longer a slave. Take them off. And you've been released as been freed. You have been released. You are now an heir of Christ.
Through
faith.
Sorry.
Through faith. Hallelujah. 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 Any more comments? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm getting close toward the end. So, you know, come on with me, please. Come on, hang in there with me, all right? We have been talking about we've been identified because of our faith. And I ask right now to evaluate yourself. Take an evaluation now. Where is your faith? What level is it? When things happen, what level is it? When situations don't work the way that you want them to work out, what level is your faith? Knowing who you are as a child of God, we have been identified from faith because of our faith. I mean, you've heard that saying. We walk by faith and not by, not by sight.
Amen.
We walk by faith and not by sight.
So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it looks like, we walk by faith. Those shackles should not be on you, my brother, my sister. You should not be in bondage. You should not be tied down.
That's
you
right.
should not feel the weight on your shoulders. You should not. Because of who you are. You should
no.
be in harmony. We all should be in harmony. Amen? We should be in harmony. We were created to live, not die. We were created to live in harmony.
Amen.
We all need to get self-evaluation, including myself. Where is your faith? Is it hidden? Does it only come out on Sunday?
And since we are free and we don't have those, we're not in bondage, we have access to him now. We
yes,
have
amen.
Access to go right to Jesus, to the Father.
Well,
for whatever
Amen.
We need.
Yes.
Amen.
Then you have
Amen.
Access. The door is open for you to go and to touch God, to pray to God.
Mm-hmm.
The door is open.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And thank God. Oftentimes I say there is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And if you don't understand that, when you say it, there's two different things we're talking about. It's one thing to talk about it and you know it. It's another thing when you talk about it and you say it because everybody else is saying it. There's a difference. Where is your faith? And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ has taken us to another level as heirs of Christ. As heirs of Christ. Amen. And
Amen.
When I say where's your faith, I'm not putting anybody on Front Street. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying we need to evaluate where we are. Because once we identify where we are and where we need to be, there's going to be a drastic difference in our lives. As children of God, as heirs. As heirs. And we talked about as far as being a minor, talking about minors, that you're still, even as a minor, you're still an heir at that time, but you're not going to have legal power until you become of age. And when I think about that, when you become of age, when we become of age, we can metaphorically, we can look at that when we become of age. Does it mean that once we get to a certain level of understanding, that we become of age? Is it by numbers after we become a certain age in numbers physically? Isn't our relationship or how we have adopted Christ in our lives when we become of age? That can be looked at in so many different ways, in my mind, when we become of age. It's almost like telling your child, you're not ready to drive yet. You have to wait to a certain age, and after a certain age, then I'm going to put on, well, let me just say it, as you're going through the process, you're going through training. You're going through training. We're going through training. And then after we become to a certain age, then we take the test to determine whether we are qualified to operate that vehicle. And when we pass, then we have the right to be able to go wherever we want to go in that vehicle. But until we pass that test, then we have to keep trying and we have to keep trying and we keep trying until we can pass that test. Once we pass that test, we have a free opportunity to go wherever we choose by vehicle, legally. So in my mind, you know, it takes me a lot of different, metaphorically, I just go all over the place with that in terms of, you know, becoming of age. You know, I mean, is that used metaphorically, you know, in terms of a number?
or the, when we become get to our understanding of our relationship with Christ and a certain relationship where our faith mm-hmm. is over that foundation, and it can't be shaken. Can't be shaken. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. When things mm-hmm. happen, all of a sudden our faith becomes shaken, we begin to start to have doubt. That's just human nature. I don't know about you, but it happens to me. That's just human nature. And God is saying here that because you are heirs, you are my heir. Know who you are. You shouldn't be running around begging because you own. You are the owner. You, it has been over to you. Everything has been passed. The promises of Abraham, because we are his descendants, has been funneled down to you and I. To you and I. Let me go over those promises again when I talk about the promises. Number one, his prosperity. And put your name there. His prosperity would be numerous. Put your name here. His seed or descendants would receive the gospel and bear the priesthood. Three, though the ministry of his seed, put your name there, all the families of the earth would be blessed, even with the blessing of the gospel, which are the blessings of, hallelujah, salvation.
Amen.
Salvation. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, making sure that we are saved. But right now we're occupying this earth. We're occupying our time. And while we're occupying it, God has a reason. He has a purpose for you, and he has a purpose for me. And as an heir, there's some things you're supposed to be doing because of who you are in Christ. And your faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You walk by faith and not by sight. That has to be embedded in our spirit to the point where it just becomes natural.
Yeah.
Not to the point where we got to keep saying it over and over, but to the point where it just becomes natural. When something is shaken, automatically our faith holds us up. It holds you up. It holds me up. Our faith. And whatever we're going through, our faith of that loss of job, our faith of whatever it is that you are under right now, whatever that circumstance is, that faith is our foundation that holds us up because of who we are. We have not been identified. You've been marked, my brothers and sisters. You've been marked by faith. God is looking at our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we go on to 4, 6, and 7, and then again, we are no longer slaves. Take off those shackles.
Mm-hmm.
Take them off. Jesus Christ is already, he's already released us. As you heard earlier, you've been set free. You are no longer in bondage. You are no longer in captivity under the law. No longer. Right now we're operating under our faith in Jesus Christ. We're operating in it under the faith in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. When I'm talking, I'm not saying that I'm there. I'm just talking about where we all should be. Where we all should be. We were all created to live in harmony. No confusion. Get rid of it. No confusion. No distraction. Get rid of it. We were all created to live in harmony. I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me. Take off those shackles, whatever is holding you down, whatever it makes you feel like you are in bondage, whatever it is that makes you feel like you just can't navigate, you can't move, you can't do what you have to do. Take it off. Get rid of it in the name of Jesus. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any comments? As we look through here, God worked through Paul, through his letters. He worked through Paul to help the Galatians move from their limitations of law to freedom in the gospel. See, and so when we hear the letters of Paul, we hear that strong emphasis on the faults of the law of Moses. That's what we hear, the faults of the law of Moses. Paul is saying here, and he's describing a human need for a structure and boundaries. All things that the law gives to protect the relationship that we need, Paul is saying that the Galatians, they are under Christ. They no longer need to communicate that way. They no longer need to think that way because they're no longer in bondage. No longer in bondage. When I think about in bondage, I think about if you take something and you put it in captivity for so long, and then after a while, let's just say you put a fence around it for so long, and then later on down the road, you take away that fence. If you're not used to moving outside of that fence, you can automatically mentally think that there's a fence around you and you're limited to what you can do and where you can go. You're limited because of that fence or that bondage that you've been held in. Now, once you get rid of that bondage, then you have to have a new mindset to realize that you have been set free. That you can navigate, you can move outside of those boundaries that have held you captive, that held you in bondage. You can move outside of it now. Get rid of that mindset. Get rid of that mindset. So what's happening here is, and in closing, our call today is to pray that God will give us wisdom to help us to navigate the conversations that we have with one another. We want to faithfully proclaim the good news. At the same time, we want to help people to avoid whatever actions that are harmful to the relationship with Christ. Whatever has happened to you in the past, whatever has happened to you in the past can guide us. It can guide us and help us through the Holy Spirit to retain what benefits that we have been given. So in other words, we have a new understanding.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new understanding. You are a new person. You are a new creature. Amen? And that understanding is so that all might love, that we all might love, and that we all might serve God.
Mm-hmm.
That is our purpose. That is our purpose. Amen. Any comments? Any comments? I don't know if my mic was on overkill tonight, because I didn't, you know, I heard a few comments, but I didn't get as many as I was expecting to respond on that, on the comments felt with the open dialogue. You know, everybody was kind of quiet tonight, but that's okay.
That's all right, brother. We were listening. That's all right. We were listening.
Mm-hmm. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit worked through me, and those ears that heard was able to hear. And I'm praying that what was heard, that it is applied to your lives. That the word of God does not come back void.
No, it won't.
And that your life will never be the same. It will never be the same because of our understanding and our mindset. God has taken us to another level.
Mm.
He's taken us to another level. He has just ushered us into another realm. And now that you are in another realm, how you operate is different than how you used to operate.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. Because God has ushered us into another realm, how we used to operate is not the same as how we are operating now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new and fresh understanding. And I'm praying that that's what was relayed tonight. That wherever you were, that God has ushered you to another level mentally. I think that your faith has increased. And what God has ushered us now, that we're moving and we're operating with greater efficiency through Christ. There is no doubt. There is no doubt. Where we've been ushered, God has said that we have been heirs, and he has given you and I the authority to operate in that realm. He's given us that.
There's a word that's been keep bubbling up in me through this whole thing is confidence. We must know who we are in Christ. We must know that we are no longer servants, but heirs, sons and daughters. And when you know who you are as an heir, yes, you walk in by faith and you can have confidence in your faith because you know who you are. You've got to have confidence. And when you have that confidence that you're walking in faith, your walk is definitely different. When you enter a room, the anointing shines so bright on you that you'll draw people and hopefully draw them to Christ. If you're walking around shackled and heavy burden, people don't want to be around you like that, and you can't even tell them, oh, I'm walking by faith, because they see that you're not walking that way. You know, you got to have confidence in knowing who you are. And if you're an heir to the kingdom of God, I mean, there's no bet. I mean, when you think of humans that are heir on the face of the earth now because their parents, there's long line of money and property and all that kind of stuff. When they walk around with confidence. They know who they are. They know that they are an heir. And that's how we are to walk as children of God. We are his heirs. And we walk confident in that faith that we are his
heirs. I like that, because they can tap into that heir, so to speak, that heir money, that inheritance that they have. Tap in. So they do walk around with that confidence, with that head up, like, I don't have anything to worry about because I know I'm covered.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, but
as we move out. Go ahead, my sister.
Hmm?
Go ahead, my sister. Go ahead.
I was just saying you have a different air about you.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
But before we hang up, Elder John, you were saying Minister Herman's birthday. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Well, my birthday isn't until July, the 7th month.
I don't know. It came on Facebook. I saw it on Facebook about, you know, the birthday.
Maybe that was something that was from years ago, but my birthday ain't until July. July 17th, as a matter of fact. 2017. Praise God.
Amen. I'm glad you clarified that. But there's no home this year of happy birthday before you get there. Amen. That means we'll you until your next birthday. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. But I'll remember you're older than me, brother. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God be the glory.
Hallelujah. 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 For those of you that tuned in, Internet, we do thank you for tuning in. We're here every Wednesday. Every Wednesday. You can call in at 347-237-4054. We pray that God just allow the word to resonate in your spirit, amen, that he uses you as a vessel, amen, and that faith that has been stirred in you, that there's increase in your lives, amen, as we go through this time, 2017, where there's confusion, God is saying that there's harmony. As we go through 2017, there's confusion. God said there is harmony because of who we are in Christ. So I pray that you would just claim it, declare it, and decree it in the name of Jesus. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
matter what you've been told.